Morning and welcome to the services of the Frederick Church of Christ. I am not Tony Peterson, much better looking than him. I was hoping he'd be here to hear that, but that's all right. We are glad you're here, and I probably look like a visitor because I've been gone so much of the summer, but I am back, and I tried to get out of this, and Tony said, oh, you'll be back and you'll be able to do it. So I'm glad to be here with you, and we'll be bringing the lesson today. As we think about our worship today, I'd like to read a passage from Matthew chapter 7 that'll be very familiar, especially if you grew up in Churches of Christ and went to Bible school as a little kid. We used to sing this passage a bit, and it was always a fun song. You'll recognize it, and I'll read starting in verses 24 and following. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears the words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. We'll be talking about this and some other things in just a moment. We are glad you're here today. A nice hot summer day, last Sunday in July. Nice gentle breeze out there of 6 miles an hour this morning. And dear God, why could you not have given us 6 miles an hour last night instead of 35. And those of you that know what I like to do on weekends know why that concerned me last night. But I'm glad to be back and back safely. And it's good to be together as a church family. Let's pray together as we start our worship, then we'll sing some more. Father God, we're grateful for this moment, for the time that you've called us out to be here and meet together as a church body. We're thankful for all those that are gathered here today, for our regular members, our friends, our visitors, for all those that have come together to worship you. And as we study and worship together this morning, help our hearts unite, help us be drawn closer to you, and help us learn how it is you want us to live so that we can love and care for others around us better. Father, we're thankful for Jesus the Christ, our Savior. And as we think of him and as we gather around the table shortly, help us focus our worship on you and his love for us and his sacrifice for us. All these things we pray together as a church body through the name of Jesus the Christ. Thank you.
So as we gather at this table to enjoy this meal that God has prepared for us, I think back to what Jesus said in the Last Supper, where he said, do this in remembrance of me. And what does that remembrance mean? And kind of reminds me of what my mom, who's the children's minister of my home church back in Malibu, what she says are the two things she does. Well, she tries to convey to all the kids who come to church, because you can't get too deep in all the theological nuances with all these different stories for kids who are as low as 3 years old up to fifth grade. They don't fully understand that. But the two things she tries to convey is that church is a place where we are a family and where we love each other unconditionally. And secondly, God is the head of that household and he loves you unconditionally. And that reminder is not just a reminder that Jesus gave us for moving forward, but a reminder of an old covenant that he made with Abraham, one of the first ones where he made the covenant saying, like, you will outnumber the stars in the sky and the sands on the beaches. And when he made this covenant, Abraham brought forward the sacrifices and split them in halves. And then in Genesis 15, 17, when the sun had set and the darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. And that's significant because that isn't saying that I'm making this promise to you, and if either one of us fails, that person is going to be punished. is, no, I'm the one who, if I fail this promise I made to you, I will be like this offering that you have set before me. I will be split in two. I will take the damage. And he fulfills that up in when he sends his son, Jesus Christ. He said, and in the most cliche way possible I can think of, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And he's the one who, even though it was our mistakes, our sin that separated us from him and from having that pure relationship that we should have had, he's the one who paid that price and laid it out for us so that we can remember that we are a family together under him, who should love each other unconditionally, and that he loves us so unconditionally, he would give of himself as a sacrifice for us. So as we take this bread and this juice as a symbol for the body and the blood of Christ poured out for us, let's remember that sacrifice and remember the love that he has offered us and that we should freely accept. So please bow with me. O Lord Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for our daily bread and for providing us all that we need. Thank you for the love that you have shed and poured out for all of us throughout the ages. Please help us remember that love and not distance ourselves from you. Thank you for this sacrifice and this community you have given us. Let us be more like you every day in our journey along. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning again, and I'm out of practice of doing the welcome, so I was a little bit remiss. If you're visiting with us, we are so glad you're here. You are our honored guest, and we hope that you feel welcome here, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us again. We are so glad you're here, and I've been out of the loop. I think Tony's back in the pulpit next week, but don't quote me on that. But that's what I hear and expect. So my apologies. I've been gone for quite some time and had some technical difficulties when I returned. I do not have slides. I always like having slides, but no slides today. However, I do have an object lesson, and you are getting very sleepy, and I'm not trying to hypnotize you, and Tony's not preaching, so you can't sleep today. So I got to dig on him while I can, because he'll know how to get it back, and I don't know if this is going to fly, but I know Bert's here, and I know JB. What is this? Do you know? Bert knows, I'm sure. Go ahead. Plumb Bob. This is called a plumb bob, and no, that is not what happens when Bob and Cindy go to the fields to eat a lot of berries. And I had a great picture for that, and I hate that I don't have it in slides, but a plumb bob is often used in construction things, and scientifically, I love how scientists, you scientist types just really write some interesting definitions, so... I'm not sure this is going to stay here because these things are heavy. I'm going to try that. Oop. I'm not sure we're plumb there. We'll move it over just a bit. See if it stays. If it falls to the floor, we won't worry. So a plumb bob or a plummet is a weight. And this thing is heavy. The package says 8 ounces. I swear it weighs a whole lot more than that. It is a weight suspended on a string used as a reference line to establish vertical datum. What on earth is vertical datum? I don't want to focus on that, but in construction, a plumb bob can, it's kind of like a level because gravity never fails. You can hold it there and that weight is going to pull it straight down on the string. And when it starts to stop swinging, you can figure out what is perfectly vertical or not. And so I want to share a couple of thoughts kind of that come to my mind about our Christian walk and what we ask of God and what we expect of ourselves and what we use as reference points in our life and in our Christian walk. And the first observation I like to make about this, and it's still moving just a bit, is that it's heavy. And sometimes we describe difficulties in our life as very heavy times or very heavy circumstances that we go through. 1 Peter 5 and 10 says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." You know, life is really hard at times, and we go through things that are heavy. We go through things that are heavy emotionally. We go through things that are heavy physically. And oftentimes our cries out to God in our prayers is, "Why, God, am I going through this?" And as I think about that and how we deal with those difficulties of life that are always going to be upon us, there's a few things that kind of come to my mind. Number one, if we think in terms of our physical nature, we know that doing things that are hard will eventually make us better. Think in terms of weightlifting, or if you've had surgery and had to go to physical therapy, we are trying to work the body and put pressure and weight on it to make things better. In other words, improvement cannot come to our body physically without some challenges and some heaviness in our life. As I said, I wasn't going to share a whole bunch of airplane stories, but this one is really too good not to share. I have 434 landings as of this morning. I will tell you without a doubt, my landing at Frederick last night was the scariest and hardest one of my life, bar none, not even close. It was far and away the absolutely hardest one I've ever had to do because of the winds and because one of the two runways was closed. And even the airliners going into Dulles were having difficulty. I was coming in from the west and coming from Martinsburg, and air traffic control is trying to reroute everything. And all the airports around were scrambling to try to decide what way to land because of the winds. What I find interesting in a strange dichotomy is, 4 hours earlier in Indianapolis, out of the 434, I had my number one landing of all time, no questions asked. And I had to say to myself, the very best that you just had moments ago would never have happened without the very hardest that you had to fight through and get there. So as you're going through life, if you're dealing with something right now that is very, very heavy, God is with you and God will lift you up and God will get you through it. But not only physically, but emotionally, the things that we are challenged with that are heavy in our life, those are things meant to build us up. You know, it's funny here in this passage I read in 1 Peter 5, so often we think, God, why am I suffering? But God will restore us, and God is going to use those things we are suffering to equip us better for our walk. So if you're going through something heavy right now, heavy is okay. Would this work if this was a little piece of paper or a bottle cap that's plastic? The reason this works at the plumb up is that the weight is there. The weight has to be there so that it isn't swayed and blown around by the things around it, the gust of wind or people bumping into it. You have to have the weight and the heaviness for it to work. And so often in our Christian walk, we have to have those weight and those heavy times so that we can be built up and be strong, and so that we're not like a piece of paper just floating in the wind. The second thing, and this is where the scripture I read earlier this morning comes in, we must start with a proper and solid foundation. If I was building a fence, this would be a great place to start, with a plumb bob. When you plant that very first fence post, because you want that first post that you're starting from almost to be like a cornerstone. You want it to be perfectly level or vertically level, perfectly plumb. And if you do not set that fence post right, everything else you do is going to be crooked, and you're going to have a difficult project if you don't get started on a good footing. You know, we sang the song, Thank You, Sanford. If we don't start with a good foundation instruction in construction, we know that things are going to fall out and go splat. My favorite part of this song. But how often in our Christian walk do we want to get away from the solid foundation? How often do we want to start on what we want rather than what God wants for us? And so as you think about your Christian walk, as you think about your life, what are you going to be rooted in? What is your foundation going to be? Are you going to stick to this solid foundation of the word? Or are you going to insist that God, hey, I know better. I want to do things my way. And I think that is kind of our nature, kind of as Westerners, is oftentimes we're calling out to God, hey, this isn't going my way. Please change things so that it goes my way. And that brings me to my third point, which is we must be changed to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. The world will not change to suit us. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 25, and use an old-fashioned paper Bible. It's okay to flip pages. It is amazing. I got home and I had no internet last night. It is amazing what a moment of panic that can be in our modern world. It's like, all right, we'll break out the paper. It's all good. And I don't like to cherry pick, but this one I'm going to cherry pick and pull it a little bit out of context, because in the bigger context, this is saying a lot more than what I'm going to pull out. But man, this just really spoke to me this week. 1 Corinthians 1 and 25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Now, I think that's a little odd, because I don't think God is foolish and I don't think God is weak, but the context, the poetic license the writer is trying to express is man's a little bit arrogant, and we like to think that our way is the right way. And when we venture off the straight and narrow, we sometimes think that our paths and our wisdom and our strength is better than God's. But this is so fascinating that if there is such a thing as the worst part of God, and I don't know that there is theologically, I think that's a strange place to go, but God's worst is still so much better than our best. And what kind of led me to the thoughts about the plumb bob and how we focus and center our lives, and I'm going to stumble over the words a bit, but I hope it makes a little sense. In our walk, and especially in our prayer life, how often do we ask God to change our circumstances to make our lives better in the way that we want it to flow and be? And by that, I mean, by contrast, I have to wonder out loud, should we not instead be asking God to strengthen us and equip us and help us through the situations he wants us to be in so that we can be the people that he has called us to be? And I struggle with that, because in one hand I hear the scriptures say, you know, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. You know, pray for those things. Even if we don't know what to pray for or ask for, the Spirit is going to give us utterance. And it's okay to go to God and ask for what we want. I'm not saying that at all. I think the scriptures make that very clear, that God wants us to bring our concerns and lay them at his feet and pray for those and be in prayer and thought about those things. But on the flip side, at this point in my life, I'm really struggling with the flip side of that coin of, and maybe one of the best examples I can think of it, it's a little corny, but you remember the movie Evan Almighty, and Morgan Freeman's playing God, and Evan's wife has left and taken the kids because she thinks he's off his rocker and out of his mind. And they're in this restaurant, and Morgan Freeman as God is sitting there talking to her. And I forget the exact quote, but you may remember it from the movie. But one of the lines he says, you know, if we ask God for patience, does he give us patience or does he give us opportunities to exhibit patience? And that's kind of the thought I want us to think about is, as we're going through life, are we constantly fighting with God? And as we think back of what I said about heavy, think of all the characters you know from the Bible. As you study the Bible, how many people have we read about in the Bible that went through heavy things in their life? And I'm not just talking Job. That's the first one to come to mind. But think of everyone that went through something. Joseph, Daniel, all the apostles. Look through all the people through the Old Testament. They did not have an easy life. Being called to God's purposes does not mean we're being called to the easiest, most perfect life out there. And that's one of the things the world is trying to tell us right now that is absolutely wrong. The world is like, there can't be a God because there's so much evil out there. That's not at all it. There has to be a God because people can only get through things that they're dealing with if there was a God. And one of the things I shared with my friend Jim yesterday and why we had such a great conversation, and many of us have said this publicly here before, how do people get through illnesses and struggles and unusual circumstances of life or even usual, you know, death, family illnesses? How do people do that without a church family and without a faith? And I don't know that. Some of you know that. I've been going to church as long as I can remember. I've went to church my whole life. I don't know any other life. Some of you in this room know that other life. And I don't know how people get through it without faith, because life is hard enough. But how do we possibly go through life without a faith and without God by our side? So we must be changed to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. The world will not change to suit us. As try as hard as we can, the world will not change to suit us, but we can be changed to be God's people and be God's tools in this life. And I am going to flip to the iPad if it'll come up. You know, even Jesus had to walk down paths that maybe were unexpected for him. In Philippians chapter 2, I love the book of Philippians. I love especially the first two chapters. I'm going to start reading in Philippians chapter 2, right at verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Jesus Christ. And this is my favorite part. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Different versions, I think, say something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus had to empty himself of the perfection of heaven to come to this earth to be the sacrifice vessel for us. And about to turn 52, I still can't fully comprehend that. I don't know that I ever will, but I am ever grateful that he did. And so in the same way, when we put on Christ in baptism, metaphorically, we, maybe even more realistically than just metaphorically, we are called to empty ourselves of that prior life. And as I think about the thoughts I've said earlier, as I pray to God for what my life should be and what I should be called to be, as I mature as a Christian, I need to empty myself of asking God to make the world what I want it to be and make my path easier, and instead be obedient to what it is God is calling me to do and to be. I wish I would have been here for some of the prior lessons. I was out of town, but for anyone that fills this pulpit, it's not an easy job, whether we're talking regular ministers or fill-ins. And even sometimes for folks getting up to lead singing or to serve at the soup kitchen or to serve on different committees we have, that takes some stepping out of our comfort zones. God didn't call us to sit in comfort and just exist in happiness and bliss. That might have been a way that we kind of wanted things to go, but that's not how life is. And so as we walk together as a church family, as we walk together in our walk with God individually, we have to be prepared to empty ourselves of our own desires and our own feelings and look to God for what it is he wants us to be called. I know it's rather short, and short is sometimes sweet. Let's pray together as we close, and in just a moment, we'll offer the invitation. Lord God, our Father and our Creator, we are humbled to be in your presence, and we are glad to be called your children. And fathers, as sometimes little children are, we are a little precocious and a little odd, and we stumble and fall, and we are thankful for the patience you have with us and that you love us and you care for us regardless of what stumbles we take in life. And there are so many things in life that we're worried about, that we're concerned about, that are so hard to deal with, and we pray that you will strengthen us and pick us up, Father. But in the bigger picture of life, Father, help us to say, your will, not my will, be done, just as Jesus prayed in the garden. Father, help us have that mindset and help us to put your will first in our lives. Father, thankful for this body that meets here today. And we just pray that you'll help us lift one another up, for this walk of life is difficult, and help us carry one another's burdens as we go through life, as you would have us to do. All this we pray through the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. We pray, amen. If you are subject to the invitation, it is always open, but especially at this time, if it is time for you, for whether you need prayers or need to put on Christ in baptism, if you need to make a change in your life and put God first and make some changes, we do ask that you come while together we stand and sing, as Jack will sing and lead us and encourage us.